broadcasting live from the Capital TV studios. This is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning, Derby morning. Happy to have you on board after a nice Oaks day yesterday. I was talking to Ann in the control room. We were saying, nice day of racing yesterday at Churchill. You know, they got away without much weather to worry about because it was being predicted that in the 2 days leading up to it, they were saying, this could be a real washout on Friday, and it didn't turn out to be that way. They did have a little precipitation, but I don't think it put a damper on things, certainly not wagering or attendance. Over 100,000 people reported to attend yesterday, and a nice racing card. The middle of the card was, there were some short prices, but there were some opportunities, and early on there were some prices. Certainly the last race, there was a price. One of the stakes races had a nice price as well, but overall it was a little short during the day. But as I say, there were some opportunities. I had a pick three that had the Oaks as the middle leg. So it started with Arrest Me Red at $7, and then the Oaks paid $10, and the race right after the Oaks paid $9 or $10. So there weren't any knockout prices, but because of the field size in those three races, that pick three for 50 cents paid $127. So there were some opportunities. There'll be plenty of opportunities today, certainly, with a big card at Churchill Downs. The Derby itself scheduled to go off at 6:57. Don't forget, here on the network, again, Derby weekend with contractual obligations and whatnot with NBC. Once NBC takes over things, we can't show the races here on the network. Obviously, you can watch them on your computer, CapitalOTVBet.com, or come on down to the Racebook, or go to a parlor, or turn over to the USA Networks. Today, USA Network, the NBC Sports, USA part of their umbrella. But today, the undercard will start at noontime USA, and will go to 2:30. From 2:30 to 7:30, NBC proper will pick up the broadcast. So you can watch there, but keep us open on your computer, CapitalOTVBet.com, and up fire during the afternoon. It is going to be a lot of fun. This morning, here on the show, going to recap some of the stakes action from yesterday. Got a couple of interviews. Again, Jenny Reese in the Kentucky HBPA has been bouncing around the backstretch down at Churchill and over at Keeneland going back a couple of weeks, talking to the major players leading into the Derby. And over the past couple of days, they caught up with Chad Brown, Zandon, of course, and Joel Rosario, who's going to ride Epicenter. So we'll plug those interviews in as well. And then towards the bottom of the hour, Jeremy Plott, Countdown to the Crown, horseplayer.com, horseplayernow.com. We've been talking to him throughout the prep season about the three-year-olds and the prep races and leading into the Derby. And so got to pull him in on Derby Day and get some of his opinions. So Jeremy Plonk a little bit later on as well. But let's jump in, and we'll pull up and we'll watch the entire Oaks here. And I'll pull it up to make sure, but I believe it was a 94 buyer for Secret Oath yesterday in the Oaks. I'm just looking to see a 94 that becomes a lifetime best buyer for her. You know, great story with Wayne Lucas getting it done for the fifth time in the Oaks. We'll talk a little bit more about that. I like Kathleen O. She's going to be the number 10 horse. And turning for home, I thought she had a little momentum and just kind of couldn't sustain that. Echo Zulu, who was out there early with some legitimate fractions, winds up fourth. Desert Dawn, I know my Saratoga Sunday morning colleague, Sirius XM's Steve Bick, he liked Desert Dawn and was playing around with that horse. 50-1, that one winds up completing the trifecta, but it's going to be Secret Oath over Nest. Secret Oath, open lengths here, as we'll see, but it was a fun Oaks yesterday, living up to the billing. So let's take a look at yesterday's Kentucky Oaks.
There in the gate. And they're off in the Kentucky Oaks. Good beginning. Echo Zulu like a rocket out of the gate. Straight to the front. Yugiri's away well toward the inside, and she's up to join Echo Zulu. These two bias for the first time. Venti Valentine tucks in behind to be third, and then it's Hidden Connection toward the inside, running in fourth in the early stages. Desert Dawn comes out in fifth. Turner Loose is sixth. Nest is on the inside, seventh. And then it's Secret Oath, two lengths farther back, racing in eighth. Goddess of Fire is ninth. Nostalgic toward the inside is 10th. Shahama's in 11th. Cocktail Moments on the outside of Kathleen O. They're together, and they're already 12 lengths off the lead. The trailer is Candy Raid, and the pace is sharp. 22 and 2/5 seconds down the backstretch here at Churchill Downs. And it is Yugiri in front, the leader by a length with 5 furlongs to go. Echo Zulu is stalking intently while second. Venti Valentine is right up and on this pace in third. Hidden Connection is tucked away fourth and toward the rail. Here comes Nest advancing down inside. She's fifth and within 2 lengths of the lead for the far turn. Also right there is Desert Dawn. Kathleen O is launching a bid from the back of the pack. Following that one too as they round the far turn. It's Yugiri in front as they come toward the top of the stretch. Secret Oath and Echo Zulu right there. Nest is crying out for racing in behind horses as they move toward the quarter pole. Kathleen O switches to the outside. Cocktail Moment is coming up the rail. Off the turn and into the stretch. Echo Zulu is digging down deep on the lead, but Secret Oath has rocketed by. It's Secret Oath in front, opening up, but Echo Zulu's gonna fight on toward the rail. Nest is coming. Desert Dawn is there. Final 16th. Secret Oath wanders over to the rail. She's clear by 2. Nest a final try, but Wayne can still train. Secret Oath wins the Kentucky Oaks. Nest was second, and then it was either Desert Dawn, Kathleen O. Echo Zulu ran hard. She settles for 5th.
Wayne can still train. Great call from Upstate's own Travis Stone, the announcer down there at Churchill Downs. Secret Oath gets it done for Wayne Lucas. 86-year-old Wayne Lucas. And as I said, it was his 5th Kentucky Oaks. But the last win, 1990. I would love to know the history of the sport. I would think he would be alone here. You know, what is the longest kind of drought between major grade one victories like this, you know, in the same race? 32 years since winning his last, but he's won 5 of them overall, and at 86 years old, puts the Kentucky Oaks in the books yet again with Secret Oath. Owners were very excited. Homebred Secret Oath tried the Arkansas Derby last time with a little bit of a trip, finished 3rd. I had the horse right underneath. I just was so impressed by Kathleen O down at Gulfstream. I put her on top, but I thought Secret Oath, you know, there was so much buzz going into the Arkansas Derby, and again, there was a little bit of a trip there. I thought she stood the chance to rebound. She did in fine fashion. Luis Saez on board. He and Kieran McLaughlin, since they've teamed up, he has just had all kinds of great success, and so it continued yesterday. Nest, Irad Ortiz was trying to save a little ground, had to work a little bit to find a spot. By the time he did, Secret Oath was off to the races, but a nice second by Nest. And again, Desert Dawn at 50-1 runs 3rd off the win in the Santa Anita Oaks. 50-1 coming out of a win in the Santa Anita Oaks. Echo Zulu, it was a very good 4th because you saw the fractions. That one was up there behind Yugiri. Venti Valentine was right behind in 3rd. Yugiri winds up 13 in the field of 14. Venti Valentine winds up 14th. So that Echo Zulu kept on after those fractions. Impressive. Kathleen O winds up 5th in there. But in the Kentucky Oaks, Secret Oath. And we'll see. You know, they tried the boys in the Arkansas Derby. Will they try? You know, Wayne Lucas, I was reading some quotes after the race, and he was kind of like, you know, yeah, we could have taken a shot tomorrow on Saturday, but we have the Kentucky Oaks, and they should be very, very happy. You wind up with a grade one, a prestigious grade one like the Kentucky Oaks. You pull down the majority share of the $1.25 million purse. You've, as far as I'm concerned, you've made the right decision. So a nice win yesterday by Secret Oath. And again, 94 buyer, so a solid buyer, as I say, a lifetime best buyer for Secret Oath. So nice performance yesterday by everyone involved there in the Kentucky Oaks. Let's take a look at a couple of other performances as well. Wanted to go back to the Ali Sheba because, and I said it yesterday as we were talking, you know, in preview of this race, the Bill Mott barn is just loaded with these two. A couple of weeks ago, Speaker's Corner wins the Grade 1 Carter, and Olympiad kind of continues his march to being a solid performer. And again, two of the horses that had three-year-old seasons last year and then in the early part of the four-year-old season stamped themselves as real players, and there have been a number of four-year-olds like this so far this year. But Olympiad kind of continuing yesterday. Now, I will say, we will see Weyburn on the rail get knocked into the rail, and I was shocked that they didn't put up an inquiry sign, but the comment, the post-race commentary out of the Daily Racing Forum said the stewards, in fact, looked and interviewed both jockeys. Tyler Gaffleon on Weyburn, I guess, said, you can see him right here, he's going to get locked on the rail, bounces, into the rail. And it's Olympiad who kind of forces him into the rail. So, again, I was kind of shocked that they didn't look. Olympiad, clearly the best horse. And was Weyburn going to finish better? That was maybe the question mark. Could he have gotten third? You see here he's fourth by a couple lengths. But as I say, kind of shocked the inquiry didn't go up. But I guess Tyler Gaffleon said after the race, you know, I was out of horse anyway. So that would have been the deciding factor. Could Weyburn have maybe finished third? Then you could have made the argument. But I do kind of feel like stewards probably should have put up the sign. And because they did, again, interview the jockeys. So the stewards were looking. And how do you not look when the horse bounces off the rail like that a couple of times? But all said and done, again, Olympiad clearly was the best horse in there and continues a really nice four-year-old season. He's now 4-for-4, the last three in stakes, the Mineshaft 3 back at Fairgrounds, the New Orleans Handy, the New Orleans Classic, and then yesterday the Ali Sheba on the Oaks undercard. Really nice performance. But as I say, Bill Mott, oof. With this one and Speaker's Corner, just has a couple of monsters in his barn this year. And one other race that I wanted to look at, and tomorrow we'll likely pull up some more of these stakes when we replay on tomorrow's show. But I wanted to pull up one non-stakes race because yesterday was Kentucky Oaks Day, focused on the three-year-old fillies. And we saw Secret Oath and Nest and Kathleen O will certainly continue to play in that division. But there was a race earlier on the card with a three-year-old filly, and it was a non-stakes race. But this one will play in the three-year-old filly division going forward, too. Fourth race at Churchill yesterday was an optional claimer, non-winners of two other than. And Juju's Map was coming back. Juju's Map last year debuted and ran second at Ellis, then followed up in her second career start. She won to break her maiden at Ellis. Third career start, she wins the Alcibiades at Keeneland. Fourth career start, she runs second to Echo Zulu in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Now, she had been off since then, so this is kind of a delayed, belated three-year-old debut. So she's not only coming back and making her three-year-old seasonal debut, but she's doing it in an optional claimer at Churchill on the Kentucky Oaks undercard against some older fillies. So she's starting her three-year-old season and facing older, and you can see her out in front here. This is Juju's Map getting it done pretty nicely on the front end, virtually all the way around. Florent Giraud on board for trainer Brad Cox. The final chart margin will be just under five lengths. She went off as the 1-2 favorite, lived up to it. But this was a pretty good, nice-looking day. As I say, it was the undercard, wasn't a stakes race. Pretty nice-looking seasonal debut. And she wound up with an 87 buyer. So lifetime best buyer for her to kick off the three-year-old season. So, again, just wanted to show that because may float under the radar, not being a stakes race on the big day. But Brad Cox has a nice little three-year-old filly that, again, will make a little noise at some point in that division as the year progresses. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will, as I say, hit on a couple of the interviews from the players down at Churchill that were gotten over the last couple of days. And a little bit later on, Jeremy Plonk, horseplayernow.com, Countdown to the Crown, and more. All of that right after this. Stay tuned. I'm Seth Merrill, and as Serious Horse Players, we know that information is critical when placing a bet. With live streaming of more than 30 tracks, race replays, free past performances, and daily picks from professional handicappers, no one gives you more up-to-the-minute information than Capital OTB. Combine that with the best player awards in New York State, and you have everything a Serious Horse Player needs to be successful.
Win more with Capital OTB.
Winning starts here.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
The Clubhouse Racebook is the Capital Region's new home for racing and sports. 25,000 square feet of Vegas-style action with live wagering on the best horse racing from around the world. 260 flat-screen televisions and state-of-the-art wagering terminals. So don't miss out. The fun is only minutes away at 711 Central Avenue, Albany, just off exit 5 of I-90. And don't forget, if you can't make it to the clubhouse, you can always wager online 24/7 at CapitalOTB.com.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Seth Merrill in the studio on this Derby Day. Exciting weekend always in the on the American racing scene. I didn't give the buyer for Olympiad 103, so pretty solid number there for Olympiad, his win in the Ali Sheba. All right, we've used them the past couple of weeks, pulled up some of these interviews done by Jenny Reese for the Kentucky HBPA, and again, on big race days, they will show up and interview some of the major players. And she continued that this week. And within the last couple of days, caught up with Chad Brown, Joel Rosario. So I thought I'd pull those up as well. So first up, again, this is just from a couple of days ago, a couple of minutes with Chad Brown talking a little bit about Zandon and the Kentucky Derby.
Healthy and happy and, you know, all the major work's done. And, you know, watching the weather, of course, you know, you drew a good post. So, you know, it's not much more you can do than that.
Is there any special training you go through knowing that he hasn't been the greatest out of the gate in the last two, or how do you feel about that?
Not really. I think a little bit's been circumstance. He jumped at the start in the Risen Star, which is just really not like him. I don't know what caused him to do that. In the Bluegrass, he actually, his first step was good out of the gate, and it got a little crowded there, and he sort of got shuffled back. So I know the horse has it in him to break sharper than that. I'm just hoping he does it on Saturday.
That trip he got, it's pretty amazing what he found for himself. You don't see many babies weave through a field like that, like Ricky Bobby and NASCAR. I mean, he was pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, the horse, he's lightly raced, but he got a lot of experience in those last couple starts, having some challenging trips. He worked out, you know, a really amazing trip from last place, really turning for home in the Bluegrass, and got a lot of mud in his face, and he got some bumps and this and that. So I'm hoping it serves him well in the Derby.
In terms of the equity of the experience, a lot of these horses don't have that. I mean, you think that would really serve him well, given a field of 29.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm hoping. So, you know, come down to the trip and where he settles in that first turn, we'll learn a lot then.
You were veritably giddy the day after that big work that he had and stuff. Are you still like that? Giddy's the word, I mean, there was like this confidence with that.
Yeah. You're confident, you're relieved, you know, when you see a horse that you know can do something and they go out and do it, you know, for a trainer it's a huge relief, you know, there's no better feeling really in this profession. So, you know, the horse went out there and put in a work, it's really as good as I've seen on the dirt since I've been training in 15 years. I mean, you can't do better than that. So, you know, when you're going to the Kentucky Derby and you have, you know, a work that I'm saying is the best I've seen, you're going to give him a smiling trainer.
As it gets closer, though, I mean, just sort of the enormity of what's it like being new right now?
Yeah, you know, I've been here before. We've had a handful of shots in the Derby. We've had some really good chances. You know, we took Good Magic in here a few years ago. He's a, you know, two-year-old champion from the year before, and I thought he had a fantastic work and went in here with, you know, as really the horse to beat, and he ran in to justify that year. So, you know, anything can happen in this race. My expectations are realistic. I know how difficult a race it is. The horse is trained in super, but, you know, if you look around, he's not the only horse trained in Supra.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a handful of really good looking horses I saw again this morning going out there, and you know, they have the right trainers and the right pedigrees and such. So, you know, any number of them could win.
And again, that was a couple of days ago on the backstretch at Churchill. You can see kind of dark clouds behind Chad Brown. But again, things worked out well yesterday. A little precipitation, but nothing to put a damper on the festivities. And while that was playing, I pulled up the weather for Louisville for today. It looks pretty good. I mean, there is a slight chance of some precipitation, but it doesn't look like anything to be worried about. So, you know, knock wood, things will hold up again today. Zandon, I pulled up the latest odds. Zandon is currently sitting at 8-1. The two favorites currently, and there's $1 million in the pool after betting yesterday, the current favorites at 5-1, dual favorites, Epicenter and Taba. So a little bit intriguing at 5-1, those two, and then Zandon sitting next at 8-1. Some of the other odds, Modonegal is also at 8-1. Smile Happy is 14-1. Messier is 7-1. So Messier is actually the third choice in front of Zandon at this point. Crown Pride, the Japanese horse, 17. Charge It, 13-1. Pioneer of Medina, who I think is interesting, 47-1. Simplification, who I also am going to play around with, at 40-1. White Abario, 11-1. Cyberknife, 14-1. So taking a little action there. So interesting after, again, and it seems like people have commented now for a number of years that things don't change up too much after the first day. Right now it's $1 million in the pool, but I'll be interested to see how it does shake out as the day progresses and we get closer to post time. All right, also, Jenny Reese on the backstretch within the last couple of days caught up with Joel Rosario. He will be riding Epicenter, so here's a few minutes from jockey Joel Rosario.
The center. Just talk about his last race in the Louisiana Derby and what you like about him coming into the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, that was a very good experience for him, coming a little bit off the pace and, you know, looked like he stepping up every race that he run, and coming to the Derby, hopefully he's coming, you know, in good shape, and, you know, he'll be able to see how the pace is going to be, and I'm sure he can do everything. He can go to the league and be fully placed, but just all depending on the race, depending how we break and in the position where he, you know, put me and we just go into that first turn.
How important is it that he does have the tactical speed, but that he did show in the last race that he'll lay off a horse? I mean, when you're looking at a 20 horse field.
Yeah, it's very important, you know, that way you can do pretty much whatever you want, and just like I said, just depending on, you know, everybody else, where the way they come out of there, and I'm sure they, you know, they want to come out of there and everybody trying to get the position and stuff like that, and to see who, you know, would be the speed, but he, like I said, he also has speed. He can be right there if the pace is not fast.
The fact that he's already won at a mile and 3/16, I mean, that's just got to give you that much more confidence.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very strong horse. He, you know, looked like he's, like I said, he's been improving all his races that he run, and just, you know, going a mile and a quarter, they all going first time for a mile and a quarter, so hopefully, he do good with that. Like I say, you know, he's a really nice horse, Epicenter, and, you know, we'll see how he show up, and, you know, on Saturday.
You won this race on Orb. Do you get the same sort of feeling and sense going into the Derby this year as you had Orb was coming off victory in the Florida Derby?
Yeah, I mean, just very nice to have the opportunity, especially, you know, with Steve, you know, he really giving me a lot of opportunity, and thanks for to him to other opportunity that he be giving me, and it would be very nice if I get him his first Kentucky Derby. That would be amazing.
Is it true what they say, once you win the Derby that you want it that much more, that even more than you wanted it the first time, if that's possible? Is that true?
Of course. I mean, the Derby is like, it's nothing like it, you know, just a unique race. And then and just know a lot of people have the opportunity to win it, and it's not easy race to win. And we're blessed, you know, we got opportunity to win it once, and it can be any better. And just like you say, if another one coming, that would be amazing.
What does it feel like when you went on Orb? Of course, that was kind of a nasty day. I mean, just what's it like? Like, I've heard people describe it as an out-of-body experience.
I remember me going across the wire, I was like, even, how about that emotional? Like, even, you know, when I passed the wire, I was like, wow, I just won the Kentucky Derby. So just, it was amazing feeling. It was a dream for me, and I can't even explain how how amazing that was.
You mentioned Steve Asmussen and how great it'd be to win his first Derby. He also has you on an awful nice filly for the Kentucky Oaks, an unbeaten 2-year-old filly champion, mm-hmm. Echo Zulu. Speaking of, she's the third choice. Just sort of your thoughts on that in the Oaks.
Yeah, she's a really fast horse, and she's a really nice filly, and she won the Breeders' Cup, and she came and they won the race the other day at Louisiana, and she's an amazing filly, and we'll see how she came. And I know we're going out against all the best filly in that category, and then we'll see how she does.
Did she get tired in that last race, and do you expect her to just move forward off of that?
Yeah, hopefully we should move forward with it after this race, and I think it was the first race since she ran at the Breeders' Cup and stuff like that. But Steve, how to get him ready, so yeah, just my confidence on him.
And then also just need to ask you about winning your first Eclipse Award, when you say overdue Eclipse Award, but how's that changed things for you that now you've got one of those trophies on your mouth?
Oh, yes, amazing. Yes, it's an experience you cannot even believe. I never thought, me growing up in the Dominican Republic, I'm here, to the United States, and then be, one of the top riders, have the opportunity to win the Eclipse. So just, and thanks to all the people who really support me every day, and I cannot thanks more than, everything what they do for me.
And you wanted to be a baseball player growing up in the DR. Do you ever think, why did I want to be a baseball player?
I mean, Dominican Republic, we really like the sport, baseball, and then it's like horses, we also like horses and stuff, but it seems like, they follow more baseball, and then, growing up in the Dominican Republic, every kids that grow up there, they want to be a major league baseball player. So, yeah, I was one of them, I thought that, but just glad I chose the horse.
When you went on Orb, did they have you throw out the first pitch at an Orioles game at the Preakness?
Yeah, they were going to, but I couldn't do it because I was riding in somewhere else. I couldn't make it, but it would be great.
I'm guessing you can get the ball across the plate. There wouldn't be any short hop.
No, it would be no problem. I like the sport. I can play it any day. I just play for fun.
The very talented Joel Rosario on board Pauline's Pearl in a stakes victory yesterday on board Epicenter today. Got a text during the break there talking as I was talking about the odds, and also mentioned the Oaks Derby double payoffs. And in those, Epicenter is favored. The $1 Oaks Derby double payoffs, Epicenter $25. Taba, second choice, at $32. Zandon at $36. Messier at $40. So again, they're taking some action in the doubles as well. But Epicenter clearly the favorite in those Oaks Derby double will pays. So it's going to be fun this afternoon, no question about it. And we'll talk a little bit more about that fun after the break with our friend Jeremy Plunk, horseplayernow.com. And again, we've had him on throughout the Derby prep season talking Derby and Oaks and referring to his countdown to the Crown package, which comes out every Friday, previewing and reviewing 3-year-old prep stakes. And we'll get some of his thoughts on the Kentucky Derby this afternoon. All of that right after this. Stay tuned. It's Derby morning. Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, we are joined now by our friend Jeremy Plonk, horseplayernow.com, Countdown to the Crown, and more. Jeremy, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Happy Derby, everybody.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. And before we get started, just update the folks. What does Horse Player Now have available on Derby Day for people to help them out?
Well, we've got our full buzz report, handicapping the entire 14-race card today. And Jason Blewett and Terry Terrell also with an assist in handicapping with me on the report. So you can get that every week, low price. We don't charge any more for Derby Day or Derby Weekend. We had the Oaks as part of the product yesterday as well. So, try to give people something affordable and quality that they can trust, and hopefully we have a big day.
Horseplayernow.com is the address, and also Countdown to the Crown to check that out. Before we get into Countdown to the Crown and three-year-olds and Derby Day, I just want to go back because we talked to you, obviously, Keeneland season. Folks could find your picks on the Keeneland website every day. What was your takeaway from Keeneland this year? I thought it was a lot of fun. There were a couple of days where there's some head-scratching results and it was tough to come up, but overall I thought it was a fun Keeneland meet.
It was, and there were some outstanding performances. And, for me personally, I had the worst meet of my life in the fall at Keeneland. It was so bad I wanted to quit and just kind of say, maybe I've done this too long. I came back this spring and had my best meet by far.
Excellent.
Top picks won 33%, and the ROI was $288 for every $2 bet.
Nice.
So it was a massive meet. I caught some of those big prices, but it was consistent winners along the way. I thought it was really good handicapping, and I hope that that continues over into the Kentucky circuit for the summer. And with the Buzz Report, that's what I do. I do the Midwest, and then Terry does California, and Jason does the East Coast. So by focusing on a particular region, hopefully that makes us all better. And looking forward to a big summer handicap at Churchill as well.
Yeah, excellent. That's always fun when you can put together, particularly a short meet like that where you can really kind of look at the results day by day. And as I say, it was fun. There were prices. There was some logical winners. And as you say, some really nice performances, as there typically is Keeneland spring and fall. All right, let's get three-year-olds. And again, I will tout the Countdown to the Crown package, which comes out every Friday. And we've talked to you throughout the Derby prep season, as we typically do. Great job looking at previews and reviews of some of the major preps or important allowance races on this three-year-old Derby trail. And I thought we'd have to reach out to you and get some Derby thoughts as well. But I will tout people to go and pick up your thoughts in the most recent, this week's Countdown to the Crown, where you have specific Derby thoughts, and we'll hit on that in a moment. But I thought last week's was very good, too, where you're doing some kind of historical comparisons to the runners in this year's Derby. So I really like last week's column.
Well, thanks. That's something we started about 10 years ago, and I've really had a lot of fun with it. It's kind of like, the Derby's the first Saturday in May every year, right? So it's like something that has a finite point, and horses are prepared particular ways to get there, from their two-year-old season through. And what I found years ago was, like, so many of them were similar to what was done in the past. So by trying to match up a horse with this year's crop with one from a previous crop, sometimes you can get a kind of a sense, Well, if a horse only had one start and they had a break between, their winters and they're coming off a win and they're doing – who else has done that? So we match horses up that way. And you get a lot of really just identical comparisons. It's eerie sometimes when you just see kind of how the form lines match and the prep races. And it was kind of interesting, of the 20 horses we compared, I only found one that matched up to me with a past Derby winner, and that was White Abario. His resume looked exactly like I'll Have Another from back when he won the Kentucky Derby in the Preakness. And so you kind of like look at, how they're prepared. Like, they skipped the race in between, came back to the big finale. A lot of similarities. They only went on the road once. I'll Have Another went to New York and lost. White Abario went on the road to Churchill last year and lost, and then they went back to their home base and they were undefeated and they ran out the same number of races and things like that. It's a fun comparison to look at, and I have a lot of fun doing that whenever you.
Yeah,
it's the most favorite thing I write over the years.
And it was a lot of fun to read as well, and people can go to Countdown to the Crown. And again, that was last week's. This week, though, Typically, we've been talking to you throughout the season and talking about your top 20. Well, no top 20 this week because they're all in the gate. Now you have to sort them out and say, which direction am I going?
Yeah.
And I pulled up, and you have thoughts on the entire field and how, you know, how horses won't be in your mix, will be in your mix, some to maybe toss into exotics and whatnot. And then you have your picks, and so we'll kind of go through your thoughts on some of your top picks here. And you like Mo Donegal, and I pulled up a replay of Mo Donegal from the Wood, and Mo Donegal is going to be the number one horse here. Early voting, the Chad Brown runner that maybe we see in the Preakness is going to run second to number three. But Mo Donegal last year came out of that Remsen, which I think most of us thought looked like it was going to be productive. And Mo Donegal and Zandon certainly have been productive this year as three-year-olds. But coming out of the Wood Memorial, what's tilting you towards Mo Donegal?
His last three furlongs. You know, he ran it in 35 and change, according to Trackus, and I thought, wow, that can't be right, so I put the clock on it myself on the video, and, you know, I can't get it down to the tenth of a second on the video, but I can get pretty close, and he was 35 and change, sub-36 the last three furlongs. I've been doing Countdown to the Crown 17 years, and I can't remember a horse in a final prep on dirt coming home in 35 and change, you know, at the back end of a mile and an eighth, and he ran down a very good horse who was strong on the lead. A horse early voting who I think is going to be a major, major threat in the Preakness Stakes coming up in 2 weeks as he goes into that one fresh. I just thought it was a fabulous performance and just really came after a good horse who was pulling away from the rest of the pack. And so I don't think early voting came back to him. He came and got him, and I thought it was just a great visual performance. Now, Rosario was up that day. He's going to jump the right epicenter. Totally get that. But you get Irad Ortiz now, so there's absolutely no – you know, there's no step back there in the saddle. And given the rail draw, look, I was ready to toss him when he threw the rail. I'll admit it. You know, my first gut reaction was, oh, man, you know, I don't want the rail. Then I started, like, looking at the other horses, and I'm like, okay, well, I have a knock here. I have a knock here. I have a knock here. And I started to say to myself, nobody's perfect, right? There's no perfect scenario in here. And I think this horse should be about 6-1, Mo Donegal off the win. When he drew the rail, I'm thinking, well, maybe we can get 10 or 12-1 on him now because people are going to back off. Looking at the Oaks Derby doubles, he's the fifth pick amongst those pools. Early wagering in the win pool right now, you know, he's probably a little lower than I'd want to take. If we can get him up 10-12-1, you know, maybe that's the way you want to go. I think in the exotics, though, he's going to be no better than the fifth pick. And so if you got the fifth pick on top in your tries and supers, I think you can still make a lot of overlay hay with it because, to me, he should be the third choice in the race at worst. And, you know, he's going to be fifth choice. So I think we'll still get an overlay price in the exotics, whereas the wind pool, I'm not looking to bet 7 or 10-1 in the Kentucky Derby anyway. I can't remember betting a nice win bet in the Derby since looking at Lucky, I bet hard to win back when he drew the rail because of the same situation. He ended up the 6-1 favorite, if you remember that year in 2010, because nobody wanted to touch the rail. And I thought he'd have been a 5-2 favorite without the rail, you know. So I went all in, and I bet him hard to win that day. And he had a horrible trip. He almost got murdered there under the wire the first time. And so I just like, you know, in more recent years, I'm like, you know, look, the Derby, you got to take advantage from a gambling standpoint of the big field size and the big pool sizes that you're never going to get another trifecta or superfecta in this situation the rest of the calendar year. So I think that's where I've in more recent years, have focused all my money and attention on. And so that's where I'll be. So I'm not as price dependent when I go to back the Mo Donegal and say, well, he's 7-1 right now on the early odds. That's just not a big enough price. I'm looking at the exotic.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at the tries and the supers. And I think if you get Mo Donegal on top, you've eliminated a lot of tickets in the tries and supers because there's going to be way more epicenters, way more Zandons, more Messiers, more Tabas. You know, and I think he's going to sit there as the fifth choice. I think it'll be a clear fifth choice because after him, I think there's a big drop off with Cyber Knight and some of the others in how the race will be bet. So, but I think he's going to be a fifth choice, and I'll attack in the exotics accordingly.
Yeah, and you talk about the exotics. People should remember, and for folks who are new to the game, get to realize it. A 20 horse field is very, very different than your 8 or 9 horse field on a normal Thursday. So you're going to find a lot more value in the exotics than you normally might.
Right. Remember, in parimutuel betting, the losing tickets pay the winners. I know it's a simple statement, and some people are going to tell me no duh, but you got to be reminded of that. And so there are a lot more tickets. When you think, how many losing tickets are there? There's 20 times 19 times 18. I mean, I can't do that math in my head. 20 times 19, I know it's 380. And 380 times 18 is a hell of a lot, right? I mean, but I know in a 10-horse field, it's 720. 10 times 9 times 8. That's easy to do. So you're talking about thousands and thousands of losing combinations versus 720. Just going from your normal 10-horse field in the trifecta to the Derby. So there are so many more losing tickets to pay the winners. That's why you're going to get the value. And you're also looking at a trifecta pool that last year was over $30 million. $30 million in the trifecta pool for the Kentucky Derby. I mean, that's more than the handle at, like, you know, Naira, Gulfstream, and Santa Anita combined some days. You know, so that's phenomenal opportunity. And so, like, I just can't get excited about betting, like, you know, 30 to win on a 7-1 shot in the Derby. I mean, like, oh, well, that was great value. He should have been 5-2. But, I mean, I can find a 7-1 shot at Mahoning Valley on a Monday afternoon, right? I mean, 7-1 pays $16, whether it's the Derby or not. But this trifecta in the Derby is going to pay so much more, superfecta even more. Now, the superfecta is a dollar minimum, you know, so that gets really expensive. That's a difficult bet to make in the Kentucky Derby. You're kind of only playing your top choices in there. Unless you've got a very big budget and you're trying to get really deep in the superfectas. But, you know, like anything, try to limit your horses on top. I mean, that's the strategy for tries and supers. You can't be boxing too many horses or it gets super expensive right away. But when you key and have one or two horses on top, you can start to get down there and have a very affordable ticket. I mean, I put a ticket together for the wager guide for first bet where it was two horses on top, Zandon and O'Donegal, six horses in second, and seven horses in third. It's a $25 ticket, 2, 6, 7, with a 50-cent combination. So even if you want to bet $100 in tries, you could bet that ticket and have the trifecta four times in the Kentucky Derby, and you've got six chances to run second and seven chances to run third. It's so much cheaper than boxing six and seven horses. So have an opinion, spread out underneath, and you can catch one of these without spending that much money. And that's bet a little to get a lot. That's the whole approach. And just because you bet a little on your base wager doesn't mean you have to bet a little for the race. I mean, if you like to bet the Kentucky Derby more and you're a $25 bettor during the year and you want to bet $100 on the Kentucky Derby, play that ticket four times, man. I mean, like when you hit it for $2,500 for 50 cents, you're going to end up with $10,000 for $100.
And I was on the,
and that's not far-fetched.
I was on the radio with Bick this past Wednesday. And we were talking about really just that kind of a ticket structure. And I'm not normally a trifecta player, but on this day I'll jump into that. And I'm going to play around with that kind of a thing because we were talking about you put one or two on top, and then as you say, you have maybe four or five in the second spot and five or six or seven in the bottom spot. And then also, because that ticket isn't that expensive, you take those one or two you had on top, and then you put them down in the second spot and move your second horses up into the top spot and kind of back things up a little bit too. Still very affordable, but you can have a crazy couple of crazy horses in your mix. And if you hit, you could wind up being very, very happy.
And I'll tell you this. All you have to do to bet that is not bet one of the races on the undercard that you don't really like. I mean, say I don't really like the fourth race on the card. Save your $10 or $20 you would have put in that race and put it into more trifecta combinations in the Derby. I mean, you're much better off that way. You're giving yourself a chance to hit a year-making score by just simply having a little discipline of sitting out a race that was at 12:12 in the afternoon that you really didn't have an opinion on. So it's not like you're telling people, oh, well, just, you know, unload your account balance or you're wagering for the day on this race. Just have a little discipline along the way, you know. And if you've got $200, here's the deal. If you've got $200 to bet for this entire Derby card, $120 or $140 of it should be on the Derby itself.
Yeah,
that's the bottom line.
That's a great
because
point.
That's your opportunity.
Yeah,
that's your opportunity today.
Particularly if you have an opinion, particularly if you're saying, I really like this,
right,
and I'm gonna, and you don't want it, you don't want to wind up at, you know, 7 p.m. tonight and be like, oh, I've tapped out already. What happened? You know, make sure if you have those opinions, you have money left to take your shots. And speaking of opinions, we got your thoughts on Mo Donegal. But again, looking at your picks, I also pulled up a replay from the Bluegrass because again, you're kind of in your top two spots. You're looking back at that Remsen duo, Mo Donegal and Zandon. Zandon comes out, and we'll watch the replay here. The Bluegrass, Zandon's going to be the number four. Smile Happy, the number 10, will run second. But you're using Zandon in your mix as well.
Yeah, he's such a strong closer. He got through a lot of traffic. No horse got more education, I don't think, than Zandon this year. He had a tough run down at Fairgrounds in a really good field in the Risen Star. He got a good education in that race when he rallied to be third. And same case in the Bluegrass. You know, he got shuffled back early. He was all the way back to last. He weaved his way through the field. Great ride by Flavian Pratt, who is absolutely on his game right now. And he finished strong, you know. And he ran down Smile Happy in that race. And if you look at the gap back to second and third, nobody else is coming close. Smile Happy is pulling away from the others in that race. So the performance of those two in the Bluegrass obviously underscores Epicenter. You know, because they both chased him in the Risen Star. But I thought the Bluegrass was a really good race for, you know, a good race for Smile Happy, but a really good race for Zandon, the way he ran by him. And I think Chad's sitting on a powder keg the way this horse is trained in the week since. His workout back at Keeneland was just phenomenal, his first work back. And his work over the track at Churchill was probably the best of the horses who worked at Churchill, and that wasn't as good as the one at Keeneland. But I don't have a problem that he worked better at Keeneland than he did at Churchill, because you're supposed to work better in that 1-2 weeks out than the work right before the Derby. The work right before the Derby is kind of a maintenance to keep them on tilt and not do too much. The work 2 weeks out is kind of the key one. How did they come out of that last race? You got a little more recovery time. And his work two back was just spectacular. It was the best of anybody. So I think Zandon is the most likely winner. I think Modonical is the horse I like the best. It's going to be about trip for both of them. They're both come from behinders. We haven't had a horse rally to win the Derby, you know, without disqualifications, asterisk, of course. But we haven't had a horse rally to win the Derby since Orb back in 2013. The difference this year, though, in terms of the pace, and that's why I went with two closers on top, is I think we've got cheap speed in the Derby for the first time in a long time. You know, usually the horses who are like no hope long shots in the Derby over the last several years have been horses who never affected the pace. You know, they were kind of like what we've got with the horse who drew in off the also eligible list. You know, he's going to be last early and it's not going to matter and he's 99-1. I think Summer Is Tomorrow from Dubai is going to be on the lead or right there with the pace, along with Classic Causeway, who I think has no chance of going the mile and a quarter after the way he ran in the Florida Derby. So I think the two pace markers in this race are Cheap Speed, who are legitimately 50, 60, 70-1 in real chances to win this race. And we haven't had that in the Derby in a long time, where there's two 60, 70-1 shots out there setting the tone. So I think we've got kind of an old Derby where we used to have sprinters and things like that and no hope horses that were setting the tempo. So I think they drag along Epicenter and Messier and Charge It and some of those horses, others that like Zozos who expect to be up near the front. So that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping this is kind of like a little bit of a throwback Derby in terms of kind of pace and the way the race shakes out. With the quality of horses up front, I don't think are the best horses in the race. Now, if those two, three horses aren't up there and it turns out where Epicenter and Messier are setting the tone, then we're going to have another Derby like we've had like in the last 7, 8, 9 years, right? Where the two best horses are just up there the whole way and nobody comes and gets them. So I'm counting on the Cheap Speed to give me a chance in this race, but those horses are fast and I expect them with the draw. You know, Zozos in the 19 is going to go. 17 for Classic Causeway going to have to go. Summer Is Tomorrow down in the 4 right next to Epicenter. I think that's really interesting. It's one of the really untalked about things in this race, I think, is Summer Is Tomorrow is really fast, the horse from Dubai, really fast. He's a sprinter. He's right next to Epicenter. And two horses right next to each other get competitive and hook up a lot of times. He could drag Epicenter into a fight that he doesn't want to get into too soon. You know, that's projecting the pace scenario. But I don't like the fact that Epicenter is drawn next to the horse from Dubai. That I don't like.
Yeah, I used Epicenter, and I was looking at the pace differently. I was going by that kind of trend over the last 10 years and hoping Classic Causeway and Summer Is Tomorrow can kind of go out and set the pace, and Epicenter just pulls in kind of behind those, and as they fade, he kind of takes the lead, because it does seem like, again, over the last 10 years, horses have been pretty close all the way around. But that said, I'm worried it's going to play out the way you're thinking. I clearly don't think that's out of the question. So that run down the stretch into the first turn is going to be very interesting.
Right. If he can sit third behind those two, it's the absolute dream trip, and somebody will inherit the lead and open up two lengths at some point, you know? Those two, you know, if those two go out, they're going to stop, you know, two-thirds of the way around the far turn or right at the top of the stretch, and whoever's sitting third, whether it's Epicenter, Messier, a horse like that, they're going to inherit a two-length lead at the top of the stretch. Somebody's going to get that. Now, does the Zandit or a Modonical then come and get the last run? That's what I'm hoping. But you're right. And if anyone can get that third-place comfortable spot sitting behind those two, you know, you can put a ring around them. They're going to be awfully, awfully tough. I mean, that's the spot to be. That's the deal. You know, we're projecting the pace scenario and how these horses ran during the spring and all that stuff that goes with it. It's the beauty and the horror of handicapping this race. But it's a fun exercise. If all you did was line up and say, I'm going to bet the best horse who had the best season, it's Epicenter. It is absolutely Epicenter. He's the best horse with the best season.
Yeah.
That I think is undisputable.
And again, I landed there, but that pace scenario is going to be very intriguing. And also intriguing, you had Messier in your mix. I want to hear your thoughts on this because I did not know what to do with the two California horses, mainly on the trainer switch. That, to me, may juggle things up a little bit. But they're both clearly super talented. And I pulled up a replay here of the Santa Anita Derby. We'll see number 6, Taba, getting it done over number 4, Messier. Messier had come out of the really big performance in the Bob Lewis, but did a lot of the dirty work against Forbidden Kingdom in here. So Taba came and got him. But you have Messier in your mix and no Taba. How did you separate these two, and what pulled Messier into your top 3?
Well, similar to what we were talking about with Epicenters, I think he's the horse who's probably not going to be at the front. You know, he's probably fast enough to be 4th, 5th early and can get that, hey, the field's going to come back to him, and he's right there at the top of the stretch. He's in the 6th hole, right? Epicenter's in the 3 inside of the 4, Summer is Tomorrow. So I really think Summer is Tomorrow is one of the keys here. And so that Messier's outside a little bit more in the 6th hole, I think he might be able to get that draft in position, whereas Epicenter gets sucked up into it with those other horses. Messier then sits 4th right behind those 3. And that's kind of where I think he might default into it. I like him more than Taba because of the experience of foundation factor, you know. I think Taba will be plenty fit, as they say, to run the 1.25 miles. I just don't know if he's got the experience to do so. And I don't know how healthy this horse is, obviously. He's $1.7 million purchase. It took till March. I mean, he's not even like, you know, it's like, oh, he has one less start than Justify. Justify came out like a month earlier than that. You know, this is like, he's like laughing at the resume of Justify.
Yeah. Even,
you know, it's like a much later start, one fewer start. He went on the vets list and he almost didn't get back to the winner's circle after his 6-furlong debut win. And then went on the vets list. I mean, Johnny Velasquez is on the record talking about, you know, about after the maiden win, you know, the horse didn't come back great. So then after the Santa Anita Derby, he ran the Santa Anita Derby. He is what he is on paper. He's phenomenal, right? What were buyers, 102, 103? Fantastic. I mean, he's faster than every horse in the race if you want to look at, like, those kind of figures. And I don't dispute that. But to not get back to the work tab for almost 2 full weeks after the Santa Anita Derby, after he didn't come back good after his 6-furlong debut win, how can he be ready right now? How can he be ready right now to be, you know, to run the 1.25 miles against 20 horses? That's my question. I think he's brilliantly talented. If he ran this as a video game, he would probably win as much or any more than any other horse in the race, you know, if you match up his speed and all those things that go with it. They say he's not a good workhorse, except he brought $1.7 million working as a 2-year-old in the sale because he was a fast workhorse, right? Now all of a sudden we're supposed to suspend disbelief that he's not a good workhorse. I can't do that. You know, not at 5-1, right? Or as the 3rd choice or 4th choice. I mean, he's getting better early in the Oaks Derby doubles. I believe he's 2nd pick behind Epicenter. I know you reviewed those. So, like, as the 2nd pick, I can't play him as the 2nd pick. So I'm going to try to toss him. If he wins, he wins. You know, the scenario too is like, look, this horse doesn't come out of his race as good. You know, if you want to talk about, like, worst-case scenarios for horse racing, he wins and can't make it to the Preakness, you know, and then you have the Preakness with no Derby winner. I mean, it's a very legitimate concern. I mean, the horse doesn't come out of his race as well. So If you're looking at the big picture of the entire Triple Crown, you know, for racing's sake, this isn't the horse you want to win the Derby, because he'll be iffy to make it to Pimlico.
Yeah, I'm just old school enough. I couldn't pull the trigger on two starts. And I know all of those rules over the past 10 years or so have started to change, but I still just could not pull the trigger with only the two starts. I will tell you, though, one bet I am going to make, because it's one of those that after the race, if it happens, you're like, well, of course. I'm going to box up in a little exacta Taiba, Messier, and Epicenter, because they are the only horses in the field with triple-digit buyers. And so that'll be the one that after the race, you know, you get whatever it is, winds up to be a $30 exacta or something. Like, oh, that was easy, 1, 2, 3. So I will do a little box there just for mental fitness. But, Jeremy, before we let you go, we got a couple of minutes, and you talked about, you know, a triple structure with a couple of, you know, your main thoughts on top, and then a little deeper underneath, a little deeper in the third spot. Toss out, and I did note that on the page, on the Countdown to the Crown page, you mentioned both White Abario and Charge It as being interesting, and so we can take a look at that Florida Derby where they ran 1-2. We have the stretch run to that. White Abario 7, Charge It number 6. But before we go, toss out maybe one or two prices that you will have underneath in that triple mix you're talking about.
Well, White Abario and Charge It are definitely two of them. You know, I mean, White Abario is going to be kind of a mid-range price, maybe 12 to 1-ish. I think Charge It might be a little bit higher. I'll be using those two for sure. You know, I did want to look at a horse, you know, like Ethereal Road, a deep, deep closer to throw in there, who typically the stereotype is for a big plotter to come along, a commanding curve, Golden Soul type that closes and gets a piece of it. Ethereal Road's out, you know, obviously now, so that throws that one out of the mix. I don't see any of the other closers that interest me at all. I don't see, like, that one race on their resume like I did with Ethereal Road, that a deep closer could be part of that. So, you know, maybe Cyber Knight, you know, from the Arkansas Derby. He's training really well. He's 20 in the morning line. But I got to say, I don't see this as being a massive, massive number underneath. You know, but I think you can get some good 15s, and if you've got the right one on top who's like 7-8 to 1, you know, it's not like you got a 5 to 2 on top. You're not keying California Chrome and needing 40 to 1 to get a $1,000 try here. You know, if you've got 7 to 1, 8 to 1 on top and a 15 or 2 on the bottom side, you could pull $1,000 out of this without a horse that's 20 to 1. And my gut tells me the top three in this race won't have. I mean, probably the longest price of the horses that I'm really interested in will probably be Charge It.
Yeah, that's a great point, again, about the price and the field size. People should remember, don't get caught up into your thinking as to what prices may be on a normal Thursday. You'll find nice value here. Not just in the verticals, but in the horizontals as well. Should be a fun day. And Jeremy, as always, appreciated the conversation this morning as we put the exclamation point on the lead up to the Derby, talking about the Derby. But we'll catch up again as the Triple Crown Trail progresses. But as I say, I really enjoyed the conversation. I'll tell people to go over to Countdown to the Crown, pull up last week's with the historical comparisons, and this week for the Derby rundown. But I also like talking a little bit about the betting strategy, because I think too often we talk all handicapping and leave out that second most, well, equally most important part of the game, the handicapping and betting aspect together.
Well, the good thing is there'll be like an hour and a half between races and you'll have plenty of time to strategize.
Right. Yeah, you nailed it there. So, Jeremy, again, appreciate it. Good luck this afternoon, and we'll talk again down the road.
All right, cash some tickets, everybody.
Appreciate it. Jeremy Plonk, horseplayernow.com, Countdown to the Crown. Check them out as well. And I'm going to wrap it up, I'll be in a little bit early, I think, to maybe hit on the first couple of races, and then I'm going to go out in the front of the race book here and be out there this afternoon kind of interacting. If you're coming down to the race book this afternoon, say hello. I also wanted to toss out, because I talked to our friend Anthony Mormino yesterday, and I said, I'll toss your picks out on the air. Who do you like in the Derby? And he's going 14 and 15 in here. Barber Road and White Abario are the picks of Mr. Mormino. Barber Road, you're getting 40 to 1. White Abario taking a little action at 11 to 1. And that's not really shocking. White Abario didn't make my top mix, but hey, working well, and the win down in Florida. And, you know, we were down for the Florida Derby, so I talked to Safi before the race. I talked to Safi after the race. And, you know, the horse had some hiccups training and missed a race. And Safi himself was like, I'm not sure what I'm going to get there. And then big win in the Holy Bull and big win in the Florida Derby as well, and training well also. So way to Barrio. Is very, very intriguing. For me, though, in the Derby this afternoon, I have it 3, 11, 10, and 13. As I said with Jeremy, I'm going to use Epicenter on top. Hope he can kind of sit in just behind the pace setters and take over. Pioneer of Medina, I've been intrigued with since that optional claiming win down at the fairgrounds in January, subsequently fourth in the Risen Star, third in the Louisiana Derby. He might just be moving in the right direction and primed to pop well this afternoon at a price. He is Pioneer Medina, 47-1. Zandon in the third spot for me. I agree with everything Jeremy had to say about that one, and that was a huge victory in the Bluegrass, training very well, reportedly. And then I've said for the past couple of weeks, Simplification would be a horse I would play with a little bit on the ticket as well. I think he may be better than we saw in that third place finish in the Florida Derby, and we'll get back to what we saw two back in the Fountain of Youth. And with Simplification, you're getting 40-1, so he'll play around in my mix a little bit as well. So should be fun. Looking forward to it. Hopefully you are too, and hopefully by tomorrow we're all celebrating. That is going to clearly be the game plan on a big day, not only with the Derby, but a great undercard as well. So we're wishing everybody a lot of good luck. Once again, as usual, annually with NBC and Churchill contractual obligations, we can't show the races once NBC starts to show things, the NBC umbrella of networks. That will kick off at noontime on the USA Network. So if you want to watch those races, you can go over there from noon until 2:30, USA Network. And then at 2:30 through the Derby, they'll be on NBC proper today. But you can bet all you want via Capital OTB Bet, and you can come to your local parlor or clubhouse racebook, watch the races here. You can watch the races, of course, on your computer via Capital OTB Bet as well. And we will have otherwise all the other racing action on this Saturday available right here on the network today. So looking forward to it. Should be a fun day. Always a great lead up to the Derby and the Triple Crown. And then when you get here, very exciting. Again, looks like the weather seems like it's going to hold out today and be okay. So I will knock wood on that. But we're certainly hoping for that, because that makes for an even better day. All right. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. This has been Racing Across America for Derby Morning. And we're early today, obviously, because post time today is 10:30 again at Churchill. Clubhouse Racebook here opens at 9:30, so about a half an hour before we open the doors here. You can come on down and enjoy racing. Again, with the 10:30 post at Churchill, that means their pregame show is going to kick off a little early, and that's why we're early. We want it to wind up. They should start the pregame show, Joe Christofek and the fellas down there, in about 10 minutes. I think they had a 9:15 kickoff. If I saw the simulcast signal yesterday correctly, they had it up at some point during the day. So their pregame show will kick off, as I say, in about 10 minutes. So I'll wrap it up for Racing Across America so we can get some thoughts live from Churchill Downs on this Derby Day morning. Again, thanks for tuning in. Have a great afternoon. Cash a lot of tickets, and I'll see you a little later.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.